Associate's, master's, and doctorate degree, all online with Conservative Theological University? CTU degree programs are doctrinally sound, theologically conservative, and financially affordable. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today to enroll now. Leave your contact info for someone to reach out to you today. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You will be glad you did. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the issue that we're focusing on today is multifaceted, but it has one central point, and that is, as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we need to be concerned, and concerned enough to pray and ask God's divine intervention and protection for our nation and for our national leaders, especially for President Trump. We're talking about things that we should be concerned about. I'm looking at an article talking about the current events in relationship to Iran, and I'll just give you some of the blurbs from this massive article. While there's uncertainty, the U.S. has significantly building up forces in the Middle East, including aircraft carriers, air power, which could be used to for defense or offensive strikes. Trump is applying very strong diplomatic pressure on Iran, warning of severe consequences if Tehran doesn't agree to a deal. Senior military leaders are cautious, warning of the risk in attacking Iran due to depleted munitions and limited allied on an allied basis. Relationship with Israel. This portion of the article says the Trump administration has historically been one of the most supportive U.S. governments toward Israel regarding Iran's nuclear and missile programs. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we wiped out most of the nuclear program, but Iran has major capability with long-distance missiles, intercontinental ballistic missiles that could touch on some parts of the holdings of America, as well as attempting to wipe Israel off the map. Israel has what's called the Iron Dome. That is 90% successful in history past. But listen, if several hundred missiles are aimed at Israel and just 10% of them get through, that can be a major devastating blow to the nation of Israel. And that's the thing that concerns me. That's the thing that I'm interested in. That's the thing that I believe we need to know. But listen very carefully. I'm encouraged each time I think on that subject. When I look at Zechariah the 12th chapter, verse 2 and following, God says, "Behold, I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day," that's talking about the last days that we're coming into, "and that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, God's already given us His Word. We know where it's headed. We know what God is going to do based on the authority of the Scripture. But may I say to you, we need to understand from a human standpoint, a Christian standpoint, a conservative standpoint of what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the global Islamicization of the world. We're dealing with the Islamic jihadists that for 1,400 years have been incrementally, progressively taking over and dominating nation after nation after nation after nation. Let me just read you an indication of that. Headline, Europe will never recover from this 50 million Muslims that now live in Europe. The article goes on to say less than 500,000 and more are arriving every day. No less than 500,000. Muslims are now running major cities across the country for the first time in all of history. As the people who lead these countries try to do what Joe Biden tried to do here, and that is fundamentally change the racial and ethnic makeup of a nation and make white Christians a minority in their own country. In England alone, right now, 10 major cities, including London, now have Muslim mayors in a nation that was built around the Church of England. Muslims are now running major cities across the country for the first time in history. They've chosen to stand with radical Muslims over their own people. It's because of all these reasons these countries are falling apart and failing as the attack on Western civilization continues in the lands. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to recognize that we're witnessing the onslaught of the Islamization of America. We have today in New York City, as the Islamics are now raving about the fact that they've taken over a major city, we have the mayor of New York City that's an Islamic jihadist, regardless of what he says. He's a socialist, Marxist, communist, regardless of what he says. And they've taken control of the financial center of America. And yet, as a result of it, we see thousands of people leaving New York City, major businesses leaving the city and the state as a result of it, coming to states like Texas and Florida and other free states, including Tennessee and others. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand God's in control, and the focus today is on that little postage stamp called Israel, that little postage stamp called the apple of God's eye. It's God's land. In fact, when you go to the 38th chapter of Ezekiel points out exactly what I'm saying. In fact, in the 16th verse and following, let me just back up and read some of that. And thou shalt come up against my people. This is in Ezekiel 38, chapter 38, verse 16. God says it's my people. And thou shalt come against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I, God speaking, will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Several places throughout the 38th chapter, God calls it my people, my land, and what I will do. They shall, verse 23, they shall know that I am the Lord God. Verse 2 in chapter 39, verse 1 says, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back. Verse 3, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, etc. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. It's God's battle. God says he's going to do the battle. God says when we talk about Israel, talk about it belonging to the Jewish people, it does. They're the title holders, but the land belongs to God. And as we talked about on a recent broadcast, the postage stamp that belongs to Israel is a small percentage of what God gave them in the land when he promised them the going into Canaan land, that he would provide the land. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 4, every place that the sole of your feet have tread upon, that shall I give to you, as I promised unto thy father Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, God promised the land. it belongs to Israel. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, we asked the question, we started on that a few moments ago, and the question is, how will Iran respond? We already know what is going to take place. How will they respond? Just how will Iran strike Israel? Because once a strike is made against Iran, they've already said, and we can believe what they're saying, they're going to strike America, they're going to strike Israel. The question is, to what degree, to what extent, and from America's viewpoint, what parts of America? Will it be the continental United States, the lower 48, as I'm calling it? Will it be perhaps in other parts or other holdings, some of the embassies? What will they do? You can be assured that they will do something that will be major, mega. So the question is, what will take place? How will we respond when those things take place? Also, what will be the target in America? What will be the assets that they will try to take? Since Russia and Iran, ladies and gentlemen, are so closely ideologically connected to the hip, because Iran and Russia are so closely aligned financially, because Iran and Russia are so closely aligned when it comes to the need for the oil. How will Russia respond to the attack on Iran by American troops and Israeli troops, or Israeli and American apparatus? How will Russia respond? That's a question that I'm sure that the president has dealt with in conference and consultation with the people out of the Department of War. How will they respond? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we know biblically that we will not destroy Iran. Hear me. This is my focus. We're not going. The nation of Iran will not be destroyed. And how can I say that so assuredly? We know that simply because we know that Iran will be in the five-nation league led by Russia to come against the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel. Perhaps you say, who are those five nations? Iran, old Persia, if you will, Turkey, Germany, Libya, Syria. Those are the nations that are outlined in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that will come against the nation of Israel in the last of the last days. Listen, I'm not saying that this in Ezekiel 38 and 39 will take place tomorrow. But I am telling you, I am warning us, I am notifying us that based on eschatological biblical prophetic truth, we're witnessing the buildup of what eventually will be nothing more and nothing less than the World War II or World War III. We're watching the stage being set. We're watching the players being put on the chessboard. We're watching the apparatuses being put in place for God's word to leap off the pages and become reality in the nations around the globe, so that the nations around the globe can see God said it, God's going to do it just as he said that he would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, that being said, we need to be concerned about what is happening in relationship to that building up of the ultimate prophetic crescendo found in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We find that God says it is his land, that he's in charge, that it's my people. He's talking about the children of Israel. It is there, ladies and gentlemen, that God will destroy all the nations that come against Israel. When you look at what happens in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you look at what is prophesied in Ezekiel, the 12th chapter, of what God is going to do. That's where God brings about the fulfillment of his word. Just as God promised that Israel will become a nation, Ezekiel chapter 37, that took place April the 15th, 1948. Just as that took place, as God said it would, ladies and gentlemen, listen, so also it will take place just as God says that in Ezekiel 38 and 39. That's exactly what we're talking about today when we talk about the things that we should be concerned about. But ladies and gentlemen, that's a major focus. That's a major pinpointed telescopic view and microscopic analysis of what is taking place on a national, international basis. But listen, it's not the only event. The events in the Middle East are not the only thing. But right here in America, ladies and gentlemen, our churches are now in what I call a free fall. A free fall. The Bible calls it apostasy, the falling away of the local New Testament church. And yet at the same time, while that falling away is taking place, we're finding, ladies and gentlemen, major hostility against our churches, hostility against anything that's called Christianity, biblical Christianity. In fact, I'm amazed. It's sad enough to see empty pews, empty seats in churches. That's happening across the nation. It's sad enough to see across the America where an average, as we're being told by the demographers, that about 1,500 churches a month are closing. That doesn't make headlines. The Marxist media doesn't put that as high profile for you to know and for us to hear the things that are taking place there. But ladies and gentlemen, it's sad when we see not only the falling away, but we see so much of the fake, false, phony shell of the real thing that's called ministry. Listen, when you look at Matthew chapter 24, one of the first things, one of the first signs of the last days, one of the first indicators that we're in the last days, one of the first things that God's Word tells us in relationship to the last days is that of false teachers, false preachers coming on the scene. The Bible says, "For many shall come in my name, and saying, I am Christ, and deceive many." Ladies and gentlemen, there's a major number, and I don't want to get into the weeds of it, there's a major number of those that stand in pulpits across the nation, week by week by week. They're prophesying some. Some are saying things that are just simply not biblically focused. But very recently, and I'll not call the name of the church, but may I say, ladies and gentlemen, there's a major, major occasion that is taking place where things are happening that ought not to happen in relationship to our churches today. In fact, I'm looking for an article now that should indicate what is happening and tell us what is taking place in relationship to it. It is the fact that we have those in pulpits that are making prophetic statements. Let me give you an example. There's one church where the pastor would stand in the pulpit and say, "I see out in the audience, there's a lady here. She's got a broken left leg, and she's had these financial problems now for the past 2 years, and this, this, and this. And it's God told me, God showed me, and God's revealing to me these things," they would have you to believe. When it was just discovered in one of the major mega churches in our nation that that preacher had been using artificial intelligence to come up with names of individuals that supposedly these things had taken place, but it was through artificial intelligence that he had researched it. And I'm looking at the article. Names the church. Names the pastor, on leave after former student alleges clergy sexual abuse. It goes into detail of two or three things that he had been doing. He had been fake, phony, falsely claiming that he was speaking on behalf of God because God was showing him things. And in the reality, they discovered that he was going online through artificial intelligence, taking the list of names, searching out, and then calling that out as though God's speaking from the pulpit. That's bad enough. But then to find out for the past 9 years, I think it is, abuse going back to 2009, sexual relationship with some of the students in the church. Ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough to see the apostasy, the falling away. But much that we see taking place today is as a result of those coming on the scene that claim to have knowledge from God, claim to have special powers and abilities that God's not given anybody else. It is to draw people unto themselves and not to Christ. Some of those mega major churches today are faltering and folding as houses of cards that should tell us that we need to be aware that we're in the last of the last days. That's part of the evidence of the last days. That's part of what we see in the scripture that points out that we're in a prophetic last days. But ladies and gentlemen, that's bad enough. I'm talking about now issues, things that ought to concern us. We need to be concerned when those things are taking place. But one of the major, major aspects of that, ladies and gentlemen, is the hatred for the church. I'm looking at a mega article. In fact, it's about 5 pages. And I'm not going to bore you with the pages, but it says hostility against churches in the United States, incidents from 2024 and the hostility. Due to the perceived increase in acts of hostility against churches in the United States, Family Research Council set out to analyze publicly the records that are available. Our findings indicate that although an annual number of incidents do not rise from the record high as 485 in 2023, the total in 2024 is 415, remains significantly higher than the yearly totals records in 2018 through 2022. According to the Gallup, 42% of U.S. adults regularly attend religious services 20 years ago, but now that number has fallen to below 30%. This decline means that fewer Americans share a common understanding of what the church represents. Additionally, according to the Pew Research Center, found that 80% of the U.S. adults say religion is losing the influence in American life. In popular culture, Christianity is often treated lightly or outrightly mocked at. This article reads further. Demonic imagery has been embraced by pop culture figures like hip-hop, and names the artist, with Christianity seemingly losing influence and respect in America, in American life, and fewer people feeling emotionally or spiritually connected to the churches. There may be less societal pressure to discourage would-be criminals from targeting churches. Regardless of the perpetrator's motive, such crimes can leave churches in physical, financial, and emotional disarray. Some churches struggle to cover the cost of repairs and fear of future offenses. Acts of hostility against churches can send the message that churches are not wanted in the communities or respected in general. Finally, the article reads, the intensifying intolerance toward churches and Christians in the West, which highlights representatives, indications of hostilities toward Christian churches and organizations and individuals by Western government in the past 4 years. Acts such as prayer, worship, holding Christian services, preaching, and speaking Christian views are today rejected and fought against on a national basis. Ladies and gentlemen, between the apostasy, the quote, falling away that God's word tells us will happen, and the hatred for the church and the attacks on the church and then within the church body, where there's found to be the false, phony, fake preachers, and Franklin Graham called the move today in Christendom the progressive Christianity. And Franklin Graham in the March 24 issue of Decision Magazine said that the progressive Christianity is going to send more people to hell than Satan dreamed possible. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to wake up and be concerned and recognize that we're in the last of the last days. By the way, that's not to cause us to be in dilemma. That statement is not to cause us to be in fear, but to be concerned and recognize it enough that we need to be re-engaged in the local New Testament church. There needs to be a modifying of our movement and our thoughts and our mandate and our modus operandi and what we do. People that say, I'm saved, need to show it in service to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You say, how do you do that? Because you stop sitting on the side of the bed and watching some video streaming of a preacher somewhere, but be in that seat in the local New Testament church where you can encourage other believers as others come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. There needs to be a mindset in America today that we see the hand of God in the last of the last days coming about, and we're going to be salt and light that God has commanded, demanded, directed that we be. And salt and light is what God's calling His church. It's not just individually, though we are individual Christians and we make up the body of Christ. It's not the building that we worship. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's word says, with the Lord Jesus speaking, Matthew, the 5th chapter, beginning verse 13 and following, it is the Lord Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. And so my question is, each and every day on this broadcast, as we hear what is happening, are we truly being the salt and light that we need to be? Ladies and gentlemen, part and parcel of that which Franklin Graham calls the progressive church. We need to understand that we have churches today that's embracing the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Churches and so-called Christians that's embracing the transgenderism. churches and pastors that's embracing the lax, loose, lax, lost living, as I call it, across the nation. Churches that are embracing the transgenderism, the homosexuality, and the abortion, etc., etc. And by the way, churches that do that exempt themselves because they say, we are following the scripture, the command to love one another. And so the mindset with that ill thought out rationale is that we love everybody, so therefore because we love them, we're going to just let them do what they please. I believe Lily's on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God continue to bless you in being the watchman on the wall. It is heart-rending. It is actually like suicidal to watch what is happening to America. America with sitting and allowing, going to the, looking around and see what socialism, communism, what has done to people, nations around the globe over the years. We have Cuba right beside us, Venezuela. And Americans sit and watch what the reality has been, and now is pushing headlong. Right, even Europe that has gone on before, trying to plead to rescue us, to tell us that it's not good to destroy the bodies of children, to be changing boys into girls, it's not good, it's not working. And we see it here where we're destroying them, when we say, yes, the girl is trapped in boy's body, so we can change it and do things. And we see where we mess them up, that they're becoming suicidal because
Lily, you're exactly right. Lily, I hate to cut you off, but you're exactly right. But our time is escaping rapidly. We've got others on the line, but you're right. And the key to that is what we're both talking about is that we need to turn back to God. We need to confess our sins and ask God to heal our land. God is our only hope in these last days. Lily, thank you for your call, and God bless you. I believe Davis is on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yeah, thank you, Doc. You know, this is exactly what I've been thinking about for years and years, is what we're getting closer and closer to the rapture of the church. I know the scriptures tells us there's going to be wars and armors of wars and father against son and all this and all, and we see that happening right now. But also the scripture says, but his elect will be saved. I think it's time that we are one of the elect of God, and that is that we've trusted Jesus as our personal Savior. We need to ask God to forgive us of our sins, and like 2 Chronicles says, ask God to heal our land. But we got to remember this. I'm 91 years old, and I have never heard a Protestant or Baptist preacher talking about Matthew 28:1, bring a message on that particular verse in all my life of 91 years. And I believe that's where the church has gone wrong, because they've taken up traditions of men and pronounced them as doctrine in our churches today. And that's the problem with most churches today. They will not stand for the truth of God's word. God said, my word is true, and it will never diminish from that.
Absolutely. Brother, you're exactly right, and I'm thankful for your statement. And by the way, every Christian is the elect of God. Jesus Christ, according to 1 John, is the elect one, and every Christian is his elect. And as a result of that, we need to take our position and say, God, join in as we pray together and ask you to deliver us. Thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.1.